Hey, time to talk about Jeff Aronoff, an absolute marble in granite. You know, listen, you've got, Lance was just talking about patios, and Jeff does patios as well. If you've got an outdoor kitchen that you would love to be put in, Jeff Aronoff has all of the selection that you could possibly need, all the countertops, all the granite, tile, marble, anything that's hard, Jeff Aronoff is going to be able to put into your home to make your home a better place to live, to make your kitchen, your bathroom, your family room, whatever it is, Jeff can do it. If it's a big job, let Jeff Aronoff come and get this job done. He can do it all, from all of the paneling or all of the woodwork that you need done, to putting entire bars in, to putting entire entire renovations for your home. Jeff Aronoff can get this job done. You need to give him a call and let him start the process, because he is really fabulous at this, and you will love working with him. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. You got a big job at your home or work, it's absolute marble and granite. 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, Lamont put this out. Here's that's faith in the defense right there. After the coin flip, when Deshaun called tails and went heads, and Tennessee won the coin toss, And they chose to receive, Deshaun throws his head back like, oh no.
What everyone was thinking.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right. Everybody was thinking that.
You see how simple it was for them, that swing pass to Derrick Henry?
Oh my gosh.
Just to start the drive off.
Could it have been any easier? 53 yards of just so simple. A simple swing pass out of the backfield. And he just runs up the sideline for 53. And it was like, oh, this game's over. I mean, I got the cover, thank you, because they actually scored the touchdown. But I wasn't thinking about that. Warren Sharp says this. Do you believe this? Mike Vrabel is outstanding. Do you remember with about 3 minutes, though, just over 3 minutes ago, the Texans are driving? There's 327, 326. He runs. The Texans are driving, and they're actually at the 20-yard line, at the Tennessee 20-yard line. They're up by one already. Now, if you stop them, however, then they're up by four, and you have to score a touchdown to win the game. But Vrabel, he says, I don't know. I think this might be digging a little. I don't know. It worked out for him. He ran in number 46. Vrabel ran in number 46. 33 is still staying on the field. They had 12 men on the field, and they get the penalty. Well, the penalty stops the clock, and it stops it with over 3 minutes to play. And instead of, they saved 40 seconds with that move by running 46 in. They just ran 46 back out after they got the too many men on the field penalty. And Vrabel, and they won the game with 4 seconds to play. I don't know. It might be giving Vrabel a little bit too much credit with over 3 minutes to play, saying that he created a penalty that stopped the clock right there.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either, because forget the yards, if you're able to stop them and they kick a field goal, now you don't need a touchdown. A touchdown only ties it as opposed to wins it.
Right.
So I'm not sure about that. Warren Sharp.
Let me ask you about this. Let's go back and revisit Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien's draft from 2019. Let's revisit it now versus last year. You have Titus Howard.
Wow. He had a rough few minutes there, didn't he?
Yeah. First round. Second round, you have Lonnie Johnson. How's Lonnie doing?
Yeah.
I'm getting tired of seeing him. Max Sharping can't even –
Can't get on the field
anymore. Is he hurt?
No.
Did he separate his knees?
No.
Okay. Second rounder. Kahale Waring, who has played, I'd say, exceptionally well out of the third round.
Well, yeah, you mean in practice?
Charles Aminihu.
Because they just picked up a guy who now is, who is it, Farrell Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's getting the snaps.
Farrell got salty on Twitter at me, too, back in the day for pre-draft. But, yeah, he's getting snaps. They picked up Farrell Brown.
Right.
I'm just telling you, man, the Texans were warned. They had to be warned that Kahale was slow to learn stuff. They had to be warned. I'm not going to say anything else. But that draft, Titus Howard in the first, I would give him right now a C. Lonnie Johnson, D. Max Sharping, F. I mean, for just this year. I'm not talking about last year. Colin Warren, incomplete. Charles Aminihu, B-. Xavier Crawford, not on the team. Cullen Gillespie, I don't know, B, I guess.
Special for where team, he was drafted, yeah.
Yeah, a seventh-rounder special team where he's doing his job. That's fine. But you go back and look at this now. Last year, you go, oh, Titus Howard. Not bad. He got hurt, but he's come back. Lonnie Johnson, we'll see what happens. Maybe they should move him to safety. Max Sharping, I like Max Sharping. He did a really nice job at guard. He got a lot better. He's one of the more consistent guys in pass protection. Kahale Warren, well, he was out last year on the injured list, which may or may not have been real, but I'm sure he'll come back year two once he's learned more stuff. Charles Aminihu showed some potential. Xavier Crawford, no. Colin Gillespie, that's fine. What I'm saying is, after right now, we're six games into this season, and that draft is taking us backward step. And Justin Reed, how about this draft? You like this draft, 2018? Justin Reed. That hasn't gotten any better from his rookie year might have been his best year.
Yep.
Martinez Rankin was a third rounder. He's not on the team anymore, but he did get traded for right when he was getting cut, they rescinded the cut.
Carlos Hyde.
And Kansas City rescinded the Carlos Hyde cut, and so they traded to each other, but Carlos Hyde is gone. Jordan Akins was the third rounder. Kiki QT, fourth rounder, nothing. Duke Ejiofor, sixth rounder. He's hurt every single year. Every single year. Jordan Thomas, sixth rounder, not with the team. Peter Kalambaye.
Hurt.
Is it? Yeah, he's hurt. And then seventh round, Jermaine Kelly, not on the team. That's a 2018 draft.
No, the drafts. No,
17 draft. Deshaun Watson, Zach Cunningham, good. Cunningham had been. Deontay Foreman, not on the team. Julian Davenport, not on the team. Carlos Watkins, backup lineman. Treston Dekud, not on the team. Kyle Fuller, not on the team. I mean, here's what you've gotten out of your last three drafts. A backup defensive tackle you could replace at any time in Carlos Watkins. A few special teamers. A bunch of injured guys. Justin Reed. A benched Max Sharping. Charles Aminihu. A low-end safety in Lonnie Johnson. A semi-struggling tackle on Titus Howard, and I guess Russ Blacklock and John Reed.
Well, at least Blacklock showed up this week.
Yeah, actually, he made some plays. Nice seeing number 90 make some plays.
Yeah,
that's why I mentioned him.
Yep, Blacklock actually made some plays.
These drafts suck.
Which is nice.
K.J. Dillon, Tyler Irvin, Braxton Miller. These drafts actually happened. And the good one, DJ Reader, you popped in the fifth round. You can't even keep him. Kevin Johnson, Jalen Strong, Keith Mumphrey. What?
Yeah.
No wonder this team's 1-5.
No, they stink.
Terrible drafts. Now they've given away all their picks. So a good GM couldn't make picks. Great. And the good GM part is, you know, potentially wishful thinking.
Right. There's a lot to talk about. Let's talk a little about what happened college football wise on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. That was a pretty eye opening game. Another one pretty eye-opening game on Saturday night. We can also talk. We've got to talk about the Cougs too and what they did on Friday night. But first, let's talk about being a champion. If you're looking for a great way, people, there is one way for you to be a champion and save money every single month, and that is with my peeps over at Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Listen, it was a little cooler this weekend, and it rained, and so I don't have to worry about my electricity. Yes, you still got to worry about your electricity. You're still using your electricity, so why not pay less than you have to? All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560, and you are going to enjoy better rates every single month. Champion.energy/1560. Start saving. Get the best service. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So Friday night, the Cougs took on BYU and that started slow again. It's like, holy crap, they were down. It was 14-0 early on. It was like, oh my gosh. And then the Cougs came back and they took a 20-14 lead at the half, I think. Yeah, I think it was 20-14 at the half. And they looked great. They played really well in the second quarter and dominated the second quarter. And then in the third quarter, actually, they were playing pretty well. But holy crap, I don't think I've ever seen worse special teams in my life. Did you watch the game?
I watched some of the game, yeah. I did see some of it. So, and special teams were not good.
So BYU, after they pulled to within or took a 1-point lead, I think, I think it was 21-20, they onside kicked. Or no, U of H was up by two scores.
Yeah.
U of H went up two scores, 26-12 or 26-14. And BYU scores, and then they onside kick, and they get the onside kick. And before I'm looking away, and all of a sudden I'm like, and you're cheering over there. And by the way, they brought a lot of people.
They always do. Like, Didn't you say you had heard that they had bought up a bunch of tickets?
Yeah. We knew that they had bought up a bunch of tickets because they, you know, they get to come down to a warm weather place, and I think they make a concerted effort to go to one place once a year. And once the game moved to Houston, I think they said, yeah, let's go to Houston. And they had a nice fan base, and they were pretty loud. They were good fans. Of course, they're not drunk or anything, so they're actually concentrating on the game. So, oh my God, I went up to a suite where it was just so. We stayed for one series. It was so bad. It was so obnoxious how drunk and even I was.
You were put off by it. Do you think that's where you got the corona?
Yes, huh? I was drinking my Coors Lights, and I was
is that where you got the virus?
Oh, it might have been. I don't know. It might have been.
You can't get the virus in one day, though.
Anyway, so they get the onside kick. U of H had a 99-yard drive that took 2 hours and 40 minutes because the referee on a target play, it was the longest review I've ever seen in my life. It was the worst. Anyway, they had a 99-yard drive because their punt returner fair caught it on the 1-yard line. And now, are you kidding me? That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. They had BYU fumbled a punt, but they had a guy that was in the halo, so they gave BYU the football. And U of H's punter might be the worst punter I've ever seen.
They had a good one last year.
Oh yeah, the Australian kid.
I think this kid, is the kid now not Australian?
I don't know who he is.
You're not supposed to be a bad. If you come over and you're on an Australian punter, it's because you earned you go to the kicking academies, and you're usually pretty damn good if you're an Australian punter who comes over.
This guy?
Not so good?
Oh, I don't I it could be the same guy. I have no idea.
No, it's not the same guy. That guy's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
He was awful. Good. No. It's the worst punting I've ever seen in my life. He had two. They're backed up at their own. Now, listen. It's not all, you know, this stuff. They had drives. You can't go three and out in the fourth quarter twice. And you know, when you got to put something together, and you just go three and out and give them the ball back. This was not a 43-26 game, whatever the final score was. This game was was close up until about 5 minutes to play in the game. But U of H, oh my gosh, you got to do something in the fourth quarter, and you can't make all these mistakes. The mistakes that they make at the beginning of the game and the mistakes that they made special teams-wise was just a killer.
The corners just couldn't handle. Dax Milne just got over the top of them and made plays twice on the long touchdown that they had later in the game. And then
the first series of the game, too.
Yeah, and they had a really – yeah, he was classic BYU. BYU always has a guy like that. But they also ran something I'd never seen, which is that inside shovel pass where the quarterback just scooped it. He really disguised it well because he threw it underhand where it's hard to see what he was doing.
Pat Mahomes did it 2 weeks ago in Monday Night Football.
Oh, he did it underhand? And guess where Andy Reid comes from?
Yes.
BYU.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe that's what – I don't know. Man, I don't know if they got it from – it looked almost like the same exact play that Pat Mahomes ran.
Oh, okay.
A couple of weeks ago.
And so, Lance.
Yep.
Yes, the punter, the new one, is from Australia as well.
That's what I thought.
Oh, my God.
He's averaging 37.6 yards a punt.
Send him back. He needs to be deported. Is there a wall we can build?
Lock him up is what you send him back?
Send him back. Send him back.
Send him back.
Yeah. That was, that was the worst I've ever seen. No, the worst punting I've ever seen. He was a killer. I mean, you might as well go for it on your own 5-yard line. He had a half a yard kick. It was the worst. The worst.
Hey, did you, by the way, speaking of bad, we talked about the Texans run defense. Did you see, I retweeted it, Lamont had the video of it. I looked away. I saw when they were meeting at midfield, Deshaun Watson and whoever.
I talked about it. I just talked about it while you were out.
Oh, were you? When he literally, okay, for those who missed it with me, if you were also using the bathroom, when your own quarterback goes, oh my God! Yeah. As soon as he loses a coin flip it over time. Oh great! There goes that win. What if Deshaun immediately started taking his shoulder pads off?
Yeah,
on the field. Yeah, I'll just play. I'm gonna get in here and I need to get an ice bucket. You're not gonna stop him.
You should have took a shower and been changed. Although the defense didn't give him enough time. Derrick Henry breaks off a 53-yard like swing pass. God, they're so bad.
I mean, just a swing pass. Nobody was out there.
No. Nobody.
And Lonnie Johnson hurt himself tackling him.
How do you not know? I mean, how do you not account for just a swing pass?
Their best player.
Goodness gracious.
Look at Justin Reed trying to make that tackle to keep him out of the end zone. He didn't want no part of that. Although I don't blame him, but he don't want any part of that. Hey, remember Justin Reed, big hitter. Yeah, if you're a 205-pound running back, he's a big hitter.
Well, that's a normal size running back.
That's a normal
size.
This
is a tank.
You don't want any part of that.
This is the biggest. This is the toughest runner I've seen since probably Natrone Means. Now Brandon Jacobs, I said, wasn't. He had a couple punishing hits. I think one was on. Was it LaRon Landry, who he just ran over? It's one of the most violent hits you'll ever see when he was with the Giants. Brandon Jacobs trucks a safety, and it's just punishing. But he didn't do it on a consistent basis. But he only needed to do it that one time. It's been since like the mid-90s when Natrone Means. That's the last time I can remember when there was a running back who used to try to batter people like this. I'm sure there's been someone. I'm sure I'm not thinking of someone. I mean, Mike Allstott could run pretty hard. John, there's got to be somebody we're not thinking of that ran hard. I mean, there's been hard-running guys. I'm talking about somebody that's this big. There have been hard-running guys. Who is it from Minnesota that was with the Dallas Cowboys? Not Lawrence Maroney, but the other guy.
Marion Barber.
Marion Barber. He ran really physical, too. But
Brandon Jacobs is a good
Brandon Jacobs is this guy's 250, and he actually has a body type that that Derrick Henry has.
Yeah,
he should be. He's a defensive end size. Or an outside linebacker.
You're not going to
see these guys.
Yeah,
playing running back.
Yeah, the bus, dude. Jerome Bettis was a guy that used to freak people out. Thanks, Ken.
But the thing with Derrick Henry is Jerome Bettis was wide.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is this angular, big dude who in another world would be playing rushing or outside linebacker.
He'd be a boxer. He looks like he'd be Lennox Lewis or somebody like that in his prime.
Yeah. No, and he runs the way he runs. I mean, nobody could. How about the way nobody could? And he's pulling away from people. Pulling away from people with the football in his hands. I saw somebody ran for a touchdown, a long touchdown, and the defensive back was almost caught him this weekend. Speaking of which, we haven't talked about Georgia and Alabama, and I got to tell you, we got to start putting some respect on Mac Jones' name, because dude can fling the ball. He's not mobile. I know he's like an Alabama quarterback that we've seen before, but he is accurate. He throws a beautiful deep ball. It's time and time again. His pass percentage, and I know he throws a lot, but he'll throw it down the field as well. And I know he's got better players. He's got better receivers. It's not even arguable. I mean, those receivers, they were the difference in the game, was those receivers, because you can't stop Smith. And Mechie now is coming on, and he's really, really good. And Waddle is uncatchable. So I know he's got better players around him, but you got to also get the ball there, and Mac Jones is getting the ball there.
Yeah, I mean, Tua had those players like that too.
He ended up the fifth pick.
And Mac Jones now, Mac Jones has started. I think he's showing some improvement.
He was good. Listen, you go look at his stats, Lance, and watch and look at him. He wasn't bad before this.
No, he wasn't bad. He wasn't Tua, but this year he's starting to look like he's really starting to lock in. This is a Georgia team that has some DBs, by the way, that are NFL caliber DBs, and he put a big number on them. So you are right. The talent there is, I know everyone loves Waddle, and maybe when I watch the tape that Waddle will be my favorite too, but I just love Devontae Smith. I just think he's so smooth. He's just skinny. He's just skinny is what he is. But and you'll notice Calvin Ridley, Jerry Jeudy, they're getting a bunch of skinny wide receivers. It's like Nick is fine with really fast. He doesn't care if you're kind of leaner. He just wants you really, really fast. But it's just not fair, once again, what they're able to throw at you offensively. But don't you think, looking at what they did against Georgia's offense, which, is okay, and then what they did against Ole Miss, and then what Ole Miss did this week against Arkansas, it kind of lends some credence to the fact that when they say that they felt like Ole Miss was stealing their defensive calls, and then they hung a big number on Alabama. It's like, wow, look what Ole Miss did. But then Ole Miss couldn't do the same thing to Sam Pittman's Arkansas team, and then Georgia couldn't do it. It almost feels like maybe Alabama was right.
Or maybe Barry Odom's defense is better than anyone could have imagined, because for the first half, now they had the quarterback they shouldn't have had, but that defense was shutting down Georgia in the first half too. Barry Odom's defense at Arkansas is pretty good.
I'm going to tell you what.
They should
Sam Pittman is a miracle.
I'm going to
tell you what. The Aggies got their hands full this week.
Yeah, now the Aggies are like 10-0 forever against, I don't know when's the last time they've lost Arkansas.
Yeah, but every year it's an overtime game.
Yeah, I think last year was different. I don't remember exactly the score there. Yeah,
every year Arkansas gags it up and A&M takes over.
At least in the Sumlin era. I'm not sure how it's been. I don't remember the scores, unfortunately, under Jimbo. But yeah, with Sumlin, it was like every game it felt like one play could swing it one way or the other.
You don't understand. Arkansas is one of the worst teams I've seen.
But you look at their recruiting ranking, not that it matters, but their overall ranking over 4 years, they're not that bad.
Really?
The talent says they should have been way better under Chad Morris. Maybe that speaks to Chad Morris as a head coach, because that wasn't great, and it hasn't been great for Chad Morris as an OC with Auburn. But Barry Odom, that defense, and what Sam Pittman has done, they got competency. We all can talk about Felipe Franks and his shortcomings, but there's some competency there at quarterback, which is something they did not have last year.
But they're also playing defense.
I know Barry Odom. He should be the Broyles Award winner if you decide to give it away 4 games in.
So So give big ups to the Aggies. This is the highest ranking under Jimbo Fisher at number 7. And deservedly so after a couple of look at Clemson and look at Alabama, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, you could probably throw a rock and say from last man Georgia's well, probably
see what
there
Ohio
too.
Ohio State looks like.
Georgia, Ohio State are probably maybe there too, and then everybody else, what 6 through 15 are probably the same team practically. Or maybe probably. 6 through 20, 25 yep. depending on the day.
Right. I'm going to tell you, yeah, but because Georgia Tech is not that bad a football team.
No, they already have. Now, they have 2 ACC wins, and the Florida State win looks a little better considering what they did to UNC, and Louisville, the other team they beat, pushed Notre Dame to the brink. So I think it just leads credence to, I mean, on any day, you can go, I don't know, 10 through 30, I guess, and say these teams are all alike depending on the day and who's feeling pretty good that day as far as who's going to win the game. But yeah. I think there's Ohio State, when they play, and by the way, the Big Ten starts this Friday, if you weren't paying attention. So we'll see Ohio State pretty soon.
Yep. Yeah, this weekend.
I mean, Jimbo's 7, and he's already lost to Alabama.
Yeah. And got slapped by Alabama.
That's, yeah. And they're 7 right now.
But that's because it's Alabama and Clemson and everybody else right now.
Well, speaking of college football, we come back. Have you seen the new – there's a new political ad. It's a real political ad. Have you seen it, John?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll play some of that because the Lincoln Project is now going after Dr. Cogslaughter, and they're going after SEC fans now. And I was thinking, okay, how are they going to – where is this going? When I saw the ad start, I'm like, okay, I'm not sure how they're going to work this in. How are they trying to jackhammer this one in there? And then only at the end – did I figure out? I didn't think it was the greatest. I thought they did kind of jackhammer the message in, but it is funny that they're now trying to go after SEC fans, which would be the ultimate heat check.
Well, mm-hmm. It's more about going after Trump and what he's done to make this.
But he's trying to. But they were clearly playing to SEC
they're
fans.
They're playing the SEC fans saying, hey, look what this guy has done to your season. You can't even go to games anymore.
Did they air that? Was that aired on during Georgia-Alabama?
I don't know if it made it to CBS, but obviously they have their Twitter account. That's where they push most of their stuff.
Okay, yeah, I don't know if they – yeah, are they popping up on TV or no, just
they
online?
They have bought ad time in states they feel are important to the election. I don't know if they have the money to buy time during CBS primetime. But they show up on Fox News and stuff.
Well, I'll tell you what you have time for. You have time to stop by Men's Tee Clinic. I mean, they've got locations in Pearland, Pasadena, The Heights, Spring, Cypress. You can get to one of those, and it's important that you do. It's important that you get checked out and find out where your testosterone level is, because this is what gives you your drive. This is what gives you that energy, that focus, that intensity. This is what gives it to you. And it's one of the reasons why when you're in your 20s and your 30s, you notice those workouts or even, you know, your eating habits, they don't have the same effect because your lean muscle mass, you know, the workout does have a better effect than it may right now because your lean muscle mass, you know, that's what processes belly flab to lean muscle mass. And so if you've seen a decline, even though you work out, that's probably one of the culprits, if not the big culprit. Getting your testosterone checked is quick, it's easy, and they can custom tailor a program that's right for you, and they will fine tune it until they lock you in and you are at your best self, and they can do that very, very quickly. Make sure that you go to menstclinic.com to check out all the information they have there because they have more than just the testosterone treatments, and you can find out for yourself. Stop in, live your best life, get back to being the real you at menstclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. I assumed you knew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Texans, Astros, Aggies, whatever it is that you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. Reggie is up first. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, guys. How you doing this week?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I had a couple questions, and Lance, two of them are for you.
Okay.
One is, what was Cunningham's grade when he was coming out as a prospect? Number two, I want you guys to please help me understand what's the big drop-off with the University of Tennessee And I'm not understanding that Memphis, is Memphis getting all of their players? And lastly, I kind of understand why Coach Romeo, he went for the 2 points, because he knew that defense wasn't going to stop Derrick Henry. And I kind of saw him early on inside of that play. If we score, he said, if he took the mask off, we're going for two. And if, I guess the coordinator kept saying, we're going for two, we're going for two. He said, yeah, we're going for two. So I kind of understand those guys was not going to stop him. And you're absolutely right. That Lonnie Johnson, he saw him coming and didn't want no parts of that tackle. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Yeah. My grade on him was a 5.92 at the time, which is the equivalent of could be a late first, but probably like early second round pick, and that's where he went. I just said Cunningham's missed tackles and lack of desired play strength could bother teams, but his consistent production is hard to ignore. He's rangy three-down linebacker who has a nose for the ball and special teams value. His downhill approach is made for attacking 4-3 defenses, and Cunningham could become a good early starter as a run-and-chase weak side linebacker. I don't think I missed on that. I mean, I think that's what we're looking at. It's just this. There's more expected. Boy, John, once that paycheck goes up, there's more expected. But regardless of paycheck, he could be a rookie, and this wouldn't be considered good enough.
No. No, he's just not playing well. He's not tackling. He's not, he's again, he's missing. He's filling. He's not filling his proper gap. He's not having gap
integrity,
discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just, no, he's not. I thought he was their most valuable player last year defensively. And this year, he's just all over the place. Maybe he's trying to do too much. I don't know. Because he was trying to fill a hole that Adams had already filled, as opposed to filling his gap, and all of a sudden, Derrick Henry's gone. So I mean, but it's not only that play; it's play after play. It's just he took a bad angle on the Wildcat touchdown that Baltimore ran.
Yep,
he took a bad angle on that one. I mean, well, it was you're right. It was Scarlett got caught up inside on the Derrick Henry Wildcat. That wasn't Zach Cunningham. That was Brendan Scarlett, who for whatever reason just went inside. Both linebackers just went inside, and then it was an easy seal for the tight end. I mean, it's just play after play after play that these. You know, I guess this does have to fall. This does have to fall on Anthony Weaver, but you gotta blame the players too. And it wasn't Lonnie Johnson that came up and slid in on that. It was Eric Murray who came up and slid in on the Derrick Henry 94-yard run. So he's got to catch his as well.
Yeah. And Eric Murray's like, you see what happened when Lonnie Johnson actually did tackle Derrick Henry? He got hurt. I made the right decision.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I made the right
decision. And it was with his arms. It was like an arm tackle.
Yeah. As far as
that's what happened to me because of my shoulder.
Yeah,
right,
you're
now
tackling a 245-pound running back.
I fell off a ladder,
which is why
we'll
not
the same
do it
as trying to tackle.
Yeah,
Derek
but from
Henry
like 14 feet high.
That's a lie too. As far as Tennessee and Memphis, no, they're not. Memphis isn't getting Tennessee's players now. 24/7 has a recruiting ranking thing where they determine over a four-year span they rank the recruits. Now some it's imperfect because guys transfer, they don't qualify, but Tennessee over the last 4 years has recruited 15th best in the country. Memphis 63rd. So, no, the talent level isn't the same. One of the big problems is, and you can go to Tennessee's website, their front, not their personal website, but the 24/7 website, and it goes, their front page is an article about their incoming quarterback. The problem for Tennessee currently, Jarrett Guarantano's not a good quarterback.
He's terrible.
He threw two pick sixes yesterday, got benched, and then the backup threw a pick six, so that'd bring him back in. Tennessee has a Saban disciple in Jeremy Pruitt. Now, Pruitt spent some time at Florida State under Jimbo Fisher, another Saban disciple. And if you're in the SEC and you coach under Nick Saban, you try to build your team like Nick Saban used to try to build his team, and still does.
Speaking of
offensive line, defensive line, and that's the hardest way to get going because they're playing more of a pro-style offense and not the spread at Tennessee, and that's the toughest offense to recruit to. But they got to find a quarterback. Tennessee's pretty talented, but Guarantano's going to hold them back, and they need to find a guy. That's their biggest issue right now.
Yeah. Well, they got plenty of issues. Speaking of which, Mississippi State, what a mess. Goodness gracious, is Costello a mess? Did you see that? At one point, they had 26 straight drives where they didn't score a point.
Oh, wow.
And it's more than that. They finally did score when they put the freshman in, but then he looked like hot garbage too.
Yeah, I don't know how. Honestly, I don't know how. LSU must really be bad on defense.
Bo Pelini's played a defense he should have stopped playing in 2008. I mean, all you have to do, I mean, people, it's pretty trite and simple to say, but go look at what Jimmy Lake did to Washington State when he was the DC at Washington. Now he's the head coach there with Chris Peterson stepped down. Look at that offense. Every year Washington State will put up points and yards, and then all of a sudden they see Washington and nothing. Now, you can attribute that to Washington just being more talented, but look at everybody since LSU. We're going to play zone. We're going to drop eight, and we're going to make you find open holes, and Costello is incapable of doing that. He doesn't have a plus arm. I'll just put it that way.
Well, have you ever seen more pressure out of just three guys?
Well, Miss State's offensive line ain't great either.
Oh, it's terrible. My goodness. It looked like they quit. It really did. A&M had pressure with Peavy and Huntsford, and I mean, it was just ridiculous. They rushed three guys, and when they blitzed, it was over.
Yeah, forget
it. It was over. But that is just terrible what Leach has got going on there right now. That was eye-opening. Of course, the week before scoring 2 points against Arkansas should have been.
Kentucky, I think, right?
Or Kentucky, rather. Yeah. It should have been eye-opening as well. So, Tennessee's got whatever's going on in Tennessee. I mean, you can turn it around, obviously. Look at Arkansas under Pittman. I thought Pruitt wouldn't do the same thing, but that's simply
He's still good.
Yeah, they had a good end to the year last year. The opponents weren't great, but they went on this run where they won a lot of games in a row, won their bowl game. I mean, there's talent on that roster. It's just, I mean, they're still probably the third most talented team in the East behind Florida and Georgia. And then you go to the West, and they're going to be behind Alabama and others. But look at that team broke when Garantano threw those two picks. Now, you lose to Georgia. Okay, you accept that. You played well for a half. But you got Kentucky at home. This is a game you think you guys should win. And then your quarterback throws two pick sixes. That team broke when you did that.
We're getting all kinds of Ironhead Hayward, Leonard Fournette.
Ooh.
His rookie year.
Yeah, Fournette could be. Ironhead was, yeah.
Steven Jackson. Remember, he was a bad dude.
He was physical. But this is a different, this is players just almost check out on Derrick Henry.
Yep.
And they know they're going to get embarrassed. I would say that, Ironhead, that was a while back. Ironhead could run through, but who was the other one other than Ironhead and...
Eddie George was one. Yeah, that's not a bad one. Steven Jackson, Ironhead, and Leonard Fournette.
Yeah. Leonard Fournette could do some of that.
Yep.
When he wanted to.
Yep. Early on. All right. 42 pass, 942 ESPN, 97.5, 73-780-3776. Lance, let's talk about your grill.
Man, Texas Star Grill Shop is, I talked about my patio just yesterday, as a matter of fact. I did fajitas and put it on the smoke. Well, I put it on the grill. See, that's the thing. I've got a grill that's also a smoker, and that's how a lot of the wood pellet grills work. But with the Memphis, they've got they've got an interior grate where you can have you can have indirect heat. You put that down, or you can take that off and put the one with holes in it and bring fire through it. And that's something they schooled me on over at Texas Star Grill Shop. See, here's the thing. The experts there really know everything about their products. They do a ton of grilling, a ton of barbecuing. They know everything about which I rely heavily on them for which rubs, which marinades, which accessories are really the best. And when it comes to one-stop shop for barbecue, this is your barbecue superstore. Every single location they have, all three of the locations, and a fourth one is on the way. They're all like barbecue superstores. And right now those superstores have fall grill sale where you can get these at the lowest prices possible with assembly and delivery absolutely guaranteed. So take advantage now. If the fall is here, we're about to cool down and you can grill all the time. It will raise your food profile at your own home, TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Well, hello.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You may hear some construction work going on. We got some work going on here at the house, unfortunately.
Did you move?
What?
Did you move?
Yeah.
Oh, when did you move?
Oh, I last 2 weeks.
Oh, I didn't know you officially moved.
Oh, we're all in, yeah.
Well, you should have called me. I would have helped you come move. We could have, you know,
I did.
Some, whoa, that's right. I hurt my shoulder.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's what, Lance, listen, did I know if you picked up a box that something, it would break, it would, somehow break a bone or,
no.
No, listen. I just like when you're able to actually walk into the studio and there's really no great cause for concern.
What's it like to be so fragile?
I'm not so fragile.
John,
John,
you played, Lance, you played ball. John, you played football, so you've taken hits. Lance played basketball. I played football, soccer, played multiple sports. As we get older, things break down a little bit. It's just how it goes. But, John, you don't see yourself as fragile, do you?
No. I mean, I can
Let's take
I
a look at what,
walk
okay.
up
Did John ever try to stop a crime? A.
No, but he played in the Veer in high school, so he took plenty of hits.
Oh, I took a bunch of hits.
Could you have survived those, Lance?
No.
He didn't take that kind of hit in Mobile a couple years ago.
You mean when you tried to walk
stop
up a curve?
Purse?
You weren't trying to stop a purse snatcher. It's almost as fraudulent as EFK, that
Eyelids
story.
For kids?
Yeah.
Eyelids for kids.
They
for
battle
kids.
For your most fraudulent things of all time.
You need to stop that. Actually, because there is a real Eyelids for Kids.
Is there?
It's not a real one. No, there's not.
Well,
there's no website. There's nothing.
No, but kids need eyelids, though.
Do they?
Yeah, I've been trying to tell you that.
Yeah
everybody
not,
does.
Not you.
Holding. You ever seen Clockwork Orange and they hold that guy's eyes open?
Yes.
Yeah.
What does that
Well, imagine he had no eyelids.
I mean, it'd be less difficult to hold his eyelids open if he didn't have any.
Stop this thing.
He's a bad guy.
This is a bad thing.
This is your guy. Get him.
I know. I mean, I had to point it out in our little text yesterday.
Did you see the Barstool Sports head? It's actually Jim Wyatt from the Tennessean or wherever he is writing now. And because, you know, with newspaper guys, you never know if they're with the Athletic now or who they're with. But there's a fan in the stands and he starts going, boom, 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 boom. He did like 190 straight dabs. He was one of the fans and I don't know when this happened. If it was after, I don't know if it was at, and Jim Wyatt's recording it from the press box. I don't know if it was after one of the Derrick Henry touchdowns, but he's going bang with right left hands, just doing chop dabs, just bang 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 bang, like 190 straight dabs. And they had and somebody said, Dale, get your man. And that wasn't me. Somebody said that on Twitter.
I was about to ask, John, let's play the game of how Lance got to this from what we were actually talking about and try to figure out how his brain got us to here.
I don't remember. How did that happen, dabs?
I have no idea, but yeah, I'm looking at
Derrick Henry.
Listen, there are it's 2,000 straight dabs.
It's the most dabs I've ever seen.
Dude is dabbing his ass off.
Yeah.
This was at the Texans game yesterday?
Yeah, that's why that dance is so hot right now. Those moves are so hot.
I'm going to look at this guy. Yeah, he's the only one doing it, and it's not hot. He doesn't do anything that's trendy,
It's kind of hot.
And it wasn't really dabbing. It looks like he's karate chopping or something.
Because the speed dab is so fast.
He's not moving his head.
It's called a speed dab.
Okay, he is moving his head a little bit, yeah.
I do. What about your slow dab, though? Don't you like to slow dab every once in a while?
What about your
whirlwind
dab your best one, or is the slow dab?
No, it's this one where I tell my kids, hey, when you get up to bat, you need to hit like this. That's going to hurt. And then I swing, pretend like I'm swinging a bat, and then I boom. And I throw a dab at them. They don't even see it coming. I act like I'm taking a jumper, and I'll raise my hand like this, and my second hand, my guide hand, I'll just drop my hand and they just fall into
when you were I don't know, let's say 23, 24, did you think at any point you'd be trolling your kids with things no one thinks is cool anymore?
Yes.
You thought that was always part of your
personality? Where rapping dad started because I was trying to embarrass Drake at school, so I would roll down my window and tell him I'd start rapping. So I'd roll down the window when he was in junior high and start doing loud raps, and he would freak the bleep out.
Did the transition from trying to smash to, okay, my life is just...
I got married early. I got married early. I needed to find...
Is that where that happened? You got married early, so you transitioned from, you know, trying to find you some to embarrassing your kids?
Yeah, I have to keep myself engaged. I've got audio of when Alec was five. He's 16 now. When he was five, and I was trying to convince him, I was using a Daniel Plainview voice, and I asked him if he'd like to come work in the oil field with me, and if I called his kindergarten teacher, she would be okay with it. And he said yes, he would go to the oil field with Daniel Plainview. These are things I do. I've dressed my kids up as you know, Jesse Pinkman and Walter White.
Or Dwight Schrute.
Mason, when he was three, he had a glass of scotch in his hand, and he was a John Hamm. He was Don Draper.
Didn't you dress your daughter up as Ruth Langmore?
Yeah, Ruth Langmore. Yeah. Did you ever see when I dressed him up
what
as Jonah?
Role model.
Did you ever see the one, Dell? I dressed him up as Jonah and Veep?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Yeah, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus saw it and said, "You don't let her watch this show, do you?" No. I don't let her watch the show.
All right, five biggest disappointments from week six. See if you agree.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It was 10-0. He's 10-0. He throws that pick six
first
and he falls
quarter,
apart.
After the first quarter, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. The offensive line, and Aaron was holding on to it. That coverage must have been incredible because Aaron was holding on the ball a while. And his protection was not good. That's a bad combination. They got away from the run way too fast, by the way.
Listen, he hadn't thrown a pick six, and then all of a sudden he almost threw two in three throws. I mean, holy crap. He got down. They got the second one was down to the 2-yard line. Holy crap, was that bad? That was not nearly – that wasn't the game we thought we were going to see, that's for sure. The Vikings – how about what an egg they laid? You would think after beating the Texans that they would come back home against a hapless Falcons team that, I guess, you know what? I should have seen it coming with, you know, a new coach. Getting rid of your coach and your general manager. I mean, that's the recipe for.
Same thing. I thought there's a chance they'll be loose. Nah, Minnesota's finally showing what they're made of.
Yeah.
That was not a bad loss against it for the Texans because Minnesota, oh, wow. Atlanta's like, oh, thank God everyone's gone. Now we can play. But they were, Minnesota was really bad. They were really, really bad. The Jets are not firing Adam Gase, and I'm guessing it's because they want to keep losing and they think he's their best.
Yeah. He's their best option for losing.
Right?
There's no question. There's no question he's their best option.
Dude's down multiple scores in the second half. Hey, run your kicker out there for a 55-yard field goal because that'll do something.
Well, Baker Mayfield, man, that was an ass whooping they put on them. Holy crap.
Baker almost lost a liver after what Cam Hayward did to him. Did you see that? Like, Baker's throwing a ball. He's not even facing the line of scrimmage at this point because someone's wrapped up around his lower body, and Cam Hayward just lays him out. And you could see Baker kind of go, oh, and he's on the ground, like trying to see if he's still alive or not. The Steelers are like, yeah, we know you're 4-1. We don't care.
118 yards, 2 interceptions before he was benched for his own good in the third quarter.
He was benched to save his life.
Yeah.
Cam Hayward destroyed him.
And Keel Harry, how about the Patriots?
Really? Oh, my God.
I mean, unbelievable.
That was
I thought we were seeing the same thing out of your Colts, Lance.
I know.
My goodness.
Looked like they were going. Well, they're not my Colts, but
your
Ballard's
Colts.
My guy.
They're your Colts.
Ballard's your guy.
Texans are my. But Ballard's they were getting beat by Joe Burrows, and I thought Joe Burrows was finally.
It's
you know
one,
how many.
Why are we pluralizing
it's
his
do
name?
Do you know how
Burrow.
Many close losses Joe Burrows has?
Yeah.
That's going to be.
Stop doing that.
When he finally, like.
Not the losses. Stop pluralizing his name.
Finally get rid of A.J. Green.
Lance Zierlein's.
Do you think they trade A.J. Green?
They should.
Do you think the Texans trade J.J. Watt? I'm going to say there's a 3% chance.
No, zero chance. Zero. Zero chance they trade to J.J. Watt.
They're not trading J.J.
Watt. They love J.J. Watt.
Yeah, but
and then the last biggest disappointment yesterday, Texans defense.
Why is that a disappointment? We all know they suck.
The Titans posted a 601 yards and an overtime win. Houston's defense having a full meltdown late. Tennessee offense not known for being prolific. I would disagree with that.
Yeah.
Stomped all over Houston in a game-tying drive. And then, Derrick Henry involved in four of the Titans' six plays on a game-winning touchdown drive. Texans had no answer.
Wouldn't disappointment imply that there's some expectation of something good happening on their defense?
Yeah. Even their own quarterback threw his head back when he knew they were going on defense first.
Look, if you're on the defense, I mean, sure, you understand your plight. You know you're not good, but I'd be a little heated. Hey, could you not publicly embarrass us? No. Like, I know we're bad, but could you not openly show disdain for knowing we have to go back out on the field?
Is that asking too much?
How much of this is on Deshaun for calling tails?
Well, you make a point there. If you would have called heads, we wouldn't have this problem.
Right?
I'd blame him a little bit.
I mean, he knew immediately when it was heads that they had lost the game.
Yeah, he's got to take some responsibility heat for calling that. But his reaction to, like, well, game's just over, is how all of us probably felt. Except I just thought, well,
hold him to a field goal.
I had no fantasy, and it's not like I could secretly cheer for Derrick Henry to mow somebody over. I'm like, I'm just trying to. There's no draft picks involved here. I just want to see the Texans win this. Can the Texans just get on the right track now that Bill O'Brien? And I guarantee you, nobody cheered harder yesterday than Bill O'Brien for Derrick Henry. Because when you get fired by a team, when your team gets rid of you, you 100% want them to fail.
But those are all his players, Lance. Why wouldn't he want his players to succeed?
He would tell you, no, I'm out there cheering for him. In real life, he wants them to lose. He wants J.J. Watt to get smashed. He was praying that J.J. Watt would get run over by Derrick Henry. Instead, one of his draft picks couldn't tackle anybody.
I will give some credit to the Texans. I saw Vernon Hargraves come face-to-face with Derrick Henry and not die. So he didn't suffer the same fate Josh Norman did.
No. Well, Eric Murray would have, but Eric Murray kind of just...
He made a business decision. He pulled a Cameron Maben.
You know who didn't make one business decision yesterday?
Who?
Whitney Mercilus. Was he even on the field?
Oh, you consider making plays a business decision?
Well, not making them. Actually being a part of, like, you know, taking a dive. I didn't see Whitney Mercilus even do that.
Right.
I guess he just took himself out of every play, and he was just not even part of the picture.
No tackles, no assists, no
zero,
sacks.
Nothing.
He did have one quarterback hit. That was his contribution for the day. One quarterback hit.
Oh, that was probably on a completion.
Well, considering what Tannehill looked like, you're probably
right.
That's
not even getting on the stat sheet.
Okay, it's on the stat sheet. One quarterback hit.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, $54 million. There you go.
Lance, it's time for you to leave.
Well, not before I tell you what $54 million could buy you at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC.
A lot,
especially with the prices they have, with the trade-in value they'll give you for your vehicle. I think you could buy out the bar with $56 million at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. If that's what you're looking to do instead of get sacks, if that's what you choose to do, you can collect trucks like the Chevy Silverado instead of sacks. If that's what you choose to do, you can also go after the GMC Sierra pickup truck. They've got great offers on pickup trucks right now with huge cashback allowances on a variety of vehicles, including Buick, including Chevy. Go to the website and go look at the programs they have available for you. But the best thing is, when you are dealing with my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC, you're going to get honest dealings. You're going to be allowed to shop in peace and not be hassled. And when it's all said and done, you're going to end up with a great deal from a company that's waiting to take care of you. They're out in Angleton, but you can start the car buying experience at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.